This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to the Morning Run with Lynn, Xiaoning and Julian. It's 7.50 in the morning, Tuesday the 10th of March, and we're running a poll on the BFM Twitter account. That's at BFM Radio, asking you what do you think of the new cabinet. We've had about 300 votes so far, and the majority, so 53%, have said they're going to wait and see. 30% said they're not much for it. 8% each said that they're positive on it and that it's okay. So do continue to let us know what you think. We are also this morning taking a look at the fact that this new cabinet lineup, which was announced by Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin yesterday, it does not have a deputy prime minister. Instead, Tan Sri Muhyiddin has appointed four senior ministers to help him in his duties as prime minister, including chairing cabinet meetings in his absence and taking on specific portfolios.
So these ministers are Dato Sri Mohammad Azmin Ali as Minister of International Trade and Industry, Dato Ismail Sabri Yaqub as Minister of Defence, and Dato Sri Fadila Yusuf as Minister of Works, and Dr. Mohammad Razi Mohammad Jidin as Minister of Education.
Now, Tan Sri Muhyiddin also said during his speech that with the senior ministers, there's no need to appoint a deputy prime minister for the time being. What does he mean by that, though, for the time being?
I mean, it must... the question is whether or not this was a political move, right? Because we were talking with Dr. Oh Yee Sun from the Singapore Institute of International Affairs earlier, and he pointed out that not having a designated single deputy prime minister avoids the issue of pointing to an obvious successor, which could ease tensions within this coalition that he's heading up. So you can catch that full conversation later on the BFM app or on Spotify. Just look for the morning brief. But this morning we are also taking a look at the role of DPM from a constitutional view of the role. And to help us with this, we have on the line with us constitutional lawyer Lim Wei Jiat. Thank you very much for joining us this morning, Wei Jiat. So constitutionally, what is the role of the Deputy Prime Minister?
Well, it's interesting to note that the Constitution does not refer or mention to the post of Deputy Prime Minister. More than anything, it's created for out of political expediency and for political reasons. So the Deputy Prime Minister actually has no role to play when it comes to the Constitution or under any laws whatsoever.
And so do we really need one? Just a straight and direct question.
No, we don't need one. He or she has no role in the constitutional or legal framework of Malaysia.
But are there any concerns that may arise from the fact that we don't have one?
Well, the only concerns I can see is that in the past, there was a deputy prime minister because it's important because it shows to the world and to the rakyat that this is my second in command. He or she is going to take over for me soon. So it creates a political transition plan, and it avoids power struggle within the party on who will be next for the prime minister's post. But that happened in the Barisan National Cabinet, which has been ruling for the past 50 years. But now that we have entered into the Perikatan National Coalition, which comprises of four major parties, I think it was a clever move by Tan Sri Muhyiddin to not create a deputy prime minister's post to avoid these internal squabbles and bickering on who would helm the prime minister's post one day.
So does the deputy prime minister actually take up the role of the prime minister if, say, the PM is temporarily unavailable?
Yes. So in the past, when Tun Dr. Mahathir goes to his overseas business trips, Wan Azizah would step in to be the acting prime minister. And conventionally, that has always been done by the deputy prime minister in the past.
And do you have a time in our history when we had a deputy prime minister effectively take over the role as PM due to a number of reasons, for example, illness, incapacitation, and so on?
I can recall Tun Hussein On taking over the role of prime minister when Tun Abdul Razak passed away quite suddenly. So that is one period in our history where the deputy prime minister has taken over the prime minister's post due to an illness or sickness or death.
But is this the first time we have not appointed a deputy prime minister in Malaysia's history?
I believe so. So Tunku Abdul Rahman had Tun Abdul Razak as deputy prime minister. Tun Abdul Razak had Tun Dr. Ismail, and after that, Tun Hussein On as deputy prime minister. Tun Hussein On had Dr. Mahathir as deputy prime minister. Dr. Mahathir had several deputy prime ministers, many which did not succeed him. Abdullah Badawi had Najib Razak as Deputy Prime Minister, and Najib Razak has Tan Sri Muhyiddin as a Deputy Prime Minister, and previously Mahathir had Wan Azizah as Deputy Prime Minister. So historically, we always had a Deputy Prime Minister.
Well, thank you very much for speaking with us this morning, Wei Jiat. That was Lim Wei Jiat, constitutional lawyer, shedding some light on the role that the DPM actually plays as per the constitution. Now, interestingly, out of that list of deputy prime ministers that Wei Jiat was giving there, you notice that almost, I think, out of all of Tun Mahathir's deputy prime ministers, I think only Abdullah Badawi succeeded him the first time, but otherwise, he's had so many, and none have managed to take up the mantle from him.
Yeah, I would say that this DPM post is not the easiest to be filled, right? So maybe that's why, for a change, there is no DPM. And like what Oyi San said, it has there could be two reasons why this is the case. One is so that you don't name a successor and you avoid some of the political bickering, which we did see between Tun Mahathir and Anwar. But you know, Anwar, that's one. The other reason, of course, is to keep everybody happy within all the coalition parties, right?
Yeah, I think the DPM appointment has been largely symbolic in the past, and I would say this in a very tongue-in-cheek fashion, that the DPM role is the same as the vice president role in the US. I mean, they don't really fulfill any function at all except to be the assistant of the prime minister or the president. But I would say that perhaps Malaysia possibly has enough checks and balances that is put into the constitution. For example, the prime minister, the Agong, for instance, would have to be consulted in times like this when there is actually a political turmoil, and that may be one of the machinery in the constitution that allows for checks and balances.
But actually, we refer to the US. The vice president role there is actually important, because under their constitution, if anything happens to the president, the vice president actually steps up to take over that role. And in America, a lot of discussion has been on this, because the three possible candidates are in their 70s, right? So there are questions about their longevity. But of course, Malaysia is a different reason, because it has no role in our constitution, the DPM.
Yeah, and also just looking at the makeup of the senior ministers that we now currently have is quite interesting, because of course we do have an UMNO senior minister, Dato' Sri Ismail Sabri Yaakob. We've got GPS, Dato' Sri Fadilah Yusof. We've got Bersatu in the form of Dr. Mohamed Radzi Jidin. We also do have Dato' Sri Mohamed Azmin Ali, who in a lot of the cabinet lists, I notice, is being listed as Bersatu, but I don't think that has actually been confirmed yet. That's mostly the fact that the former PKR members are joining Bersatu has mostly been a source story reported by a number of the portals. So there's yet to be any official announcement on that, I think.
Yeah, but it's going to be interesting to see how this kind of new cabinet works together. Mm-hmm. How do the senior ministers coordinate with Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin? Is there a ranking between the senior ministers, or are they all ranked pari passu all the same?
I think the senior ministers would de facto take the role of the deputy prime minister, but this is more functional and is split up into categories, which I think is more effective as far as running the government is concerned. But I'm really concerned about whether reforms would continue. You really need to strike at the heart of what is wrong with the country, and there is also the added woe of economic turmoil right now caused by the coronavirus and oil price collapse and so on. This is really urgent.
A lot of questions still remaining over this new cabinet. Do let us know what you think about them on the poll over on the BFM Twitter account at BFM Radio. But right now we have the 8 o'clock news bulletin for you. And then after that, the Breakfast Grill, where I speak with Charles Hay, British High Commissioner to Malaysia, about the priorities of the Boris Johnson government, as well as what future he sees for UK-Malaysia ties. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.